The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Right, let's talk Everton. And it's a warm welcome to the show to the Professional Development Coordinator. Gosh, that doesn't sound like the right title, but it is. Of course, former Blues boss Joe Royal. Morning to you, Joe.
Morning, Matt.
That's a long old title there, and we'll get on to what it means in a moment or two.
Very, very modern title, believe me.
Joe, let's just reflect on yesterday. Times are a little bit tough at the moment for Everton.
It is. You know, I looked at us at times yesterday and I thought, God, we desperately need another goal scorer apart from Rom. You know, if Rom doesn't score at the moment, we can look a little bit shot shy. But, you know, it's still very early in a new reign from a new manager, still changing things around. He's brought four players in who've all done very well. So that's the positive side. We had a great start and we've done well against the top sides, Tottenham and Man City, both draws, creditable draws. We've just got to start picking ourselves up again. We have a very hard December coming, and I'm sure that Ronald now knows exactly what he needs for the team. You know, we've taken more or less a full staff from Southampton. Yesterday was always going to be hard and hostile, but we have a big, big month coming up in December.
Do you feel there's been almost a little bit of an overreaction to results of late, in that it's quite hard for a new manager to get everything put in place perfectly as the way he would want?
Listen, there's always an overreaction in football. It comes with the territory now, you know, whether it's Wayne Rooney having a night out or Evan not winning in seven games, you know, there is an overreaction.
It just tends to happen, doesn't it? The level of performances, or at least the level of how Everton start games, is there anything that Koeman can do to address that straight away? Has it surprised you with how slow off out the blocks they are?
Well, that's for Ronald to summarise and report on it, and indeed improve if he thinks it needs that. You know, it's not really for an ex-manager to talk about that. You better ask the big fella about that.
There's no breathing space, is there? You mentioned there's big games coming up very shortly. Arsenal, Manchester United, Liverpool. But you pointed out they played pretty well in some of the big fixtures so far.
Yeah, well, we have, and we've got Leicester away, of course, as well, which is no easy game. But I look at us with the players that we have, and I don't see us as a struggling side. Maybe a side that's having a little struggle at the moment, which is slightly different.
Seventh place still in the table as well. It's a strange Premier League table.
It is a strange Premier League table, and if seventh is a crisis, it's not so bad, is it?
You're involved in the youth there as well, and of course, we've seen a young lad in Tom Davis come through. There's so many at Everton, aren't there, that are great prospects?
Well, we have particularly midfield players. We've got a wealth of young players coming through and hopefully to challenge. But, you know, football these days is an instant business. Managers, coaches don't always get a long time to get it right. So, you know, managers can tend to look for the ready-made article. But if Ronald needs a midfield player, we have several waiting, and he knows that. You know, he's seen them. He's seen them, took them away pre-season to play in the games with the team. So he knows what we've got.
Why is there this abundance of midfielders in particular, Joe?
Because there is, and it's quite seriously, it can come in circles. You know, it can be a crop of defenders at another time. We desperately need some goal scorers to come through.
And you say that, maybe just Romelu Lukaku needs that added bit of help up front, but that all depends on transfer windows now, doesn't it?
Well, we'll see. You know, we have a new owner, you know, who's certainly prepared to back the manager in the transfer market. I know that the director of football and his chief scouts are working feverishly at the moment, you know, putting together lists of players that they feel would benefit Everton. And we'll have to wait and see. But the January window is notoriously expensive and, you know, it can be a tricky window to deal in.
You mentioned the new owner, the new manager as well. Is there a new sort of feeling around the club with all that?
Well, there always is when a new manager comes in anywhere. I mean, I've seen it from both sides. So, you know, when I've gone into Everton and, you know, you can create a buzz by coming in. And obviously that's happened. You know, you've had a response from some players. And as always, there are other players who feel that, you know, that things aren't so good for them as they were. But that's the change in manager. And at the end of it, you know, it's a results business. and seventh going into Christmas, into the Christmas month, is certainly not a bad start.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, let's talk boxing. Loads going on at the moment. And let's catch up with Michael McKenna from the Liverpool Echo. Morning, Michael.
Morning, Steve. How are things?
Very good, thank you. Let's talk Hey Bellew. Last week was the announcement of the fight and a whole load of jibes between each other. They certainly got laid into each other outside of the ring from the off. You would imagine right up until the fight, this is going to be one continuous sort of verbal war.
How good is this going to be? It's one of those. I think very few of these fights come along nowadays, unfortunately. But it's a massive sporting occasion. The fight's going to be in London. But it's going to be a massive sporting occasion in Liverpool. It's a news event. I would go as far as saying this is not just a fight. You know, this is a news event. You will fill the papers. Websites will be filled, you know, with this fight right up until March the 4th. You have, you know, you look back to a few years ago when Bellew fought cleverly. I remember being at the St. George's Hall for the weigh-in, and that was just, you know, that was something else. I'd never witnessed that myself. Where St. George's Hall was packed out, and there was, you know, the crowd were properly involved, and the queues going around the blocks, you know, just to get into that event, you know, and that, it was just an event. These two boxers don't like each other, and you know that's been clear from day one, and I think it's just going to set up for just a great, interesting fight.
I'm not sure the bookies are massively backing Tony Bellew at the moment. They seem to favour David Haye's chances in this fight. How much of a step up is it for Tony?
Well, if you're asking Tony, he said, you know, it's not. But, you know, David Haye is one of the best cruiserweights, you know, Britain has ever produced. Probably the best Britain has ever produced. He dominated the cruiserweight division, went up to heavyweight, and, you know, won heavyweight titles. You know, David Haye is one of, you know, Britain's best ever boxers. The size difference, it was just a strange one that it came out as heavyweight rather than a catch weight. I didn't think David was going to come down to cruiserweight at all, catch weight possibly, but at heavyweight, it's an interesting one. I think Tony will have his hands full with that one. But you know, size wise, it's not a massive difference. You know, people were talking about. It's not like he's going in with Joshua or, you know, maybe Klitschko, who are, you know, or the likes of Fury or someone. It's someone that, you know, there's not that massive size difference. But like I said, this is a huge, huge step up for Tony, and it's one of those. It's 50-50. Tony sparred with him, and you know, got the better of him. So. If we're led to believe the reports, which I don't think are false, Shane McGuigan spoke about them as well. Just, you know, sparring and a fight's completely different, and you know, we'll see that come fight night.
You've raised a really good question, Michael, just about sort of that heavyweight division, and whether it's appropriate for him to be fighting a David Haye, but actually, you know, not a Klitschko or a Joshua, because Haye himself would say that he's worthy of fighting one of those other two. And in fact, we saw him in the ring with Klitschko, didn't we?
Yeah.
But does that suggest there is quite a gulf between a Bellew and a Klitschko, making that full step up? Does it suggest something about where David Haye is on the heavyweight scene?
It's difficult, you know, for Bellew, it's clearly a step up, and people are going to talk about, you know, the weight and, you know, the size, you know, which, it like I said, is a step up for Tony. But if Tony goes and fights David Haye and beats David Haye, you know, David Haye has been talking about Klitschko, Joshua, those big fights. Where does that put Tony?
Where does he go with that? And presumably he thinks he's in line for the same fights.
You know, and why not? You know, but, you know, you look at that and, you know, the questions were raised when Tony was calling out Hey, you know, rings out, you know, it's just like, oh, that's, you know, concentrate maybe on cruiserweight, you know, Hey's a heavyweight, and those questions asked him on why look for this fight. But if he's looking for this fight, against a fighter that's looking for the, you know, the top heavyweights in the world. Surely Tony has to you know, look for that. And I know there's a, you know, there's a clause in the contract that he keeps his WBC cruiserweight title, but does he go back to that, you know, fighting guys that, you know, don't have the name of Joshua, of Klitschko? That'll be an interesting question. Should Tony pull off the victory?
Radio City Talk Breakfast, the kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Right, Lewis Hamilton risks having his £30 million Mercedes contract ripped up after he repeatedly defied his team in a controversial Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Is he really that close to getting the sack being binned off by them? Let's catch up with our F1 man, of course, Radio City's Scott Hughes. Morning, Scott.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, so the dream never quite happened in terms of Lewis sort of taking it in the final race, but he did absolutely everything, even to defy what his team was telling him to do at the very end. How serious was his misconduct?
At the end of the day, he is a racing driver. That is what racing drivers do. They are probably some of the most selfish people on the planet. Everybody goes through life saying, oh, you've got to be a team player. But, you know, these guys are out to win for themselves. He did everything he could to win that title. Now, it's such a funny one because you sit there and you argue it all day long. You know, is it fair? Da, 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 da. It's not like a normal job, is it? It's not like a 9-to-5 job where you're in the office and everyone's a team player and stuff needs doing. And, you know, the company works better if you all work as a team. You know, this company is designed to build racing cars and have racing drivers and have the best in the world. And in order to be the best in the world, you've got to be a bit like that, I think. And if you look back in history, you look back at, you know, the greats of Senna and all those kind of drivers, they all had that selfish streak. They all threw their toys out the pram. I remember Senna didn't finish a Monaco Grand Prix one year, and he lived in Monaco at the time. And instead of going back to the team and explaining what happened and stuff, because I think he crashed, he just got out of his car and walked back to his apartment and ignored the phone for 4 days, wouldn't answer the phone because he had no interest in speaking to the team. And this is the kind of people they are. This is, you know, this is kind of how you've got to be a world champion. You know, the best sportsmen in the world are always a little bit selfish because that's what you need to be. I thought, to be honest, I think it was one of the best races of the season. It was definitely the best final 10 laps of the season, and it was all because of what Lewis did. There was no doubt in my mind he had a lot of pace in that car that he didn't show, and he just spent the entire race going slowly, 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 and he did everything he could. You know, all he could do was back him up and make sure that the other two closed up, and then that was his only shot of winning that title.
I mean, so even, did you think he was going to win at that point when he made it so slow that they all compacted? Did you think this is a masterstroke?
At that point, I thought he's doing everything he can. I still think Rosberg's going to win this because at that level, it takes an awful lot to make a mistake, and that's what it would have taken. It would have taken a mistake or for someone to have taken Rosberg out. I think if you can imagine a Vettel or a Verstappen taking out Rosberg, thus making Hamilton world champion, I think we'd be having a very different conversation this morning because I think there'd be uproar. But also, when you heard on the radio that Rosberg was asking the team, he said that, you know, Hamilton's really slow. He said, let me pass him. If he's still second at the end of the race, I'll let him by for the win. So Rosberg was, again, Rosberg was trying everything he can inside the car. He's panicking, thinking, I'm going to lose this. And Rosberg was very aware what he was doing. And Rosberg's only play was, you know, go back to the team like a little kid, you know, grasp my brother up and say, oh, Mum, he's doing this. Let me do this. And that was his only play, was to go back. So, you know, he's making those calls on the radio saying, you've got to let me through. Look what he's doing. Mercedes are like, we can't let him through because there'll be uproar from the fans. But at the same time, Lewis is not playing ball here at all. And, you know, it is the whole thing. The parents telling the child not to do something, the child's ignoring it and carrying on doing it. And it went to the point where Paddy Lowe did a radio message. And, you know, that's high-up management. When you've got high-up management in your ear giving you an order, you know you're in trouble. And I've no doubt they'll have a long chat with him. There's no doubt in my mind nothing will come of this. They will not suspend him. They will not fine him. He'll get a slap on the wrist and we'll carry on next year. At the end of the day, it is Formula One racing. And I think he pulled a blinder. A lot of people can't stand Hamilton, but he makes the sport better than it is.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
Let's talk with Radio City Sports Alan Irwin, who was commentating on that unacceptable performance by Everton yesterday. I don't think I'm out of order saying that. Let's find out what Al thinks. Morning to you, Al.
No, I think the fans would agree with you. Good morning, Steve. Not a good morning if you're an Evertonian, and we've been saying that for a good few weeks now, so it's a little bit depressing on a Monday after Everton's performances recently over weekends. Not great, yeah.
Are they just not following the manager's instructions?
Well, some fans are calling into question the manager's instructions already, aren't they? I know we're only 13 games into the season, and I'm one that would advocate any manager being given a reasonable amount of time. Roberto Martinez was given 3 years, wasn't he, at Everton? But already fans are calling into question the same sort of formation that Everton play week in, week out, this 4-2-3-1 formation. They do look very devoid of intensity in certainly the last 5 or 6 weeks, Steve. That has been the case since the defeat to Norwich. Surprisingly, when he changed the team in the League Cup tie, the EFL Trophy game at EFL Cup at Goodison, Everton have lost that momentum that they had then. But they do seem a little staid, very slow in their approach work. And I've heard all these fans basically stating that it's like watching a Roberto Martinez team at the moment. And I've got to say that, to a degree, I agree with them.
So he's a top manager. There's no question in that. But why can't he get some more out of this squad at the moment?
Well, he's got to look at the personnel, first of all, hasn't he? Which I'm sure he's doing day in, day out, on the training ground. And he's probably not happy with the overall strength of his squad. He wasn't happy at the end of the transfer window. He didn't get the players in that he wanted. I think he realises that he's got a reasonable amount of work, to say the least, on his hands over the course of the next couple of transfer windows. There is that question of motivation. I think the answer may lie in what we saw Southampton do yesterday and throw a youngster in and maybe get some of those kids to go out and play with a bit of freedom, a bit of expression. The opposition don't know what you're about. There's a possibility that could just fire Everton and give them that sort of intensity that I've talked about that they've been lacking.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.